where the Cedar Street shelter used to be.
I'm on the street here. It's November 17th? No, 16th, I guess, 1995, with
Mike Sokola.
Mike, you're a UCSC student.
Yes, I am.
Who is interested in the ongoing homeless rights situation?
Yeah.
What is this project you have here?
Well, I'm actually organizing a history of homeless resources in Santa Cruz, and it's going to be a slideshow. I'm just taking pictures of the Save Our Shelter table with Robert and, I forget his
Bob.
Name, Bob. And I'm interested in learning a little bit more about the Back 40 area and conversion to the for the community house project by the CCH. And right now, I'll be back around, but right now I've got to go.
He's
got
to go. We'll talk
I've
to you later.
I've got to go take pictures of what used to be the first shelter on Cedar Street.
Cedar Street Cold Rainy Night Shelter?
Right, where? Robert, what is that now?
I think it's either the Kumbwa Jazz Center or the place right next to it. I'm not quite sure which one it is.
So that's where I'm headed, but I'll be back around, and good luck.
All right, thank you. Now we're on the streets and we're talking to
Lewis.
And Lewis, here we are in front of Super Crown Books. You know what they say? Crown, crown, out of town! So what's happening? You live at the River Street Shelter?
Correct. The River Street Shelter, not the Back 40.
So you are part of the program which houses 36 people now or so?
Yeah, I'm in the room 1A.
And how long have you been there?
Just last night.
How was it?
It was terrible. In the middle of the night, a fight broke out between someone unidentified and an African gentleman. And an African gentleman got called all kinds of terrible names.
Such as?
Cocksucker, nigger.
By?
Motherfucker.
By a lighter skinned
male. Whether he was brown or white, I couldn't determine in the middle of the night.
Was this a resident or a staff worker who was doing the abusing?
It was a resident.
I see. And did the matter all calm down?
It sure did.
Cool.
But it woke everybody up in the middle of the night.
Sure. Have a seat.
And so you didn't get all your sleep?
No, I didn't.
Going back there tonight?
Yeah. I am. I have to until I find a new place to rent.
Well, what do the residents of the River Street shelter think about the attempt to keep the field open, like the open air shelter open?
As far as I know, there's become a greater and greater since the putting up of the fence. I think you may know the fence I'm talking about.
The fence between the free meal, the open air shelter area, and the River Street shelter parking lot.
Yeah, that area, that fence. Since the time that's been put up, there's been more and more of a separation between the two areas, and they're running themselves independently. It seems to me.
Do people use the free meal who are at the River Street shelter or not?
I think they do.
What about you? Are you a user of the free meal?
I have been in the past.
Okay, thank you very much.
And I plan on it in the future.
And how long have you been here in Santa Cruz? Are you a local? Are you from?
Several years.
And have you been able to find any kind of work here while you've been here?
No, I have not.
Are you, do you subsist on a government check?
Yeah, I subsist on a government check.
And what do you say to people who are critical of this in this Republican era and tell you, hey, you should go out and get a job, why are you on a check? What is your reaction to that?
My reaction is there's horribly few jobs available in Santa Cruz. I'm from a metropolitan area, and there's simply aren't the job offerings here that there are there. Not to mention the fact that the industry simply is not in Santa Cruz.
So you've sought work but been unable to find it?
Correct. And there aren't any jobs in town that I would have some self-respect working at. There aren't very many of the jobs that I would have any self-respect doing.
So you sought emergency shelter at River Street, and you'll be there for a month? How long do you think you're going to be there for?
Probably until the beginning of December.
They don't charge you, right?
I'm not sure.
Your check pays for it, or?
My check has gone to largely pay for some recent hospital bills, and I've been informed. But one way or another, my housing will be covered. The expense will be covered.
Okay, how are you treated downtown here in Santa Cruz? Are you treated fairly, or do you feel like do you get any hassles from hosts or cops or merchants, or is it pretty? What's your sense about here?
I think all in all, very community atmosphere, not too much finger pointing, and
you haven't been given a ticket for sleeping or sitting down or asking for spare change.
I have been given a ticket for sleeping, but it was not in the downtown area.
How long ago was that?
That was approximately 2 months ago.
And did you ever take care of that, or is it now an outstanding warrant?
It's probably gone to warrant, except I've notified my public defender and I notified my case manager at the county, and they said not to worry about it.
It's easy for them to say, isn't it?
It is.
Well, again, your name is?
Lewis.
And Lewis, I want to thank you. Anything you want to add for the Free Radio Santa Cruz audience?
I'm very grateful for the efforts of Free Radio Santa Cruz in opposition to the FCC. I'm very grateful to your efforts in getting our comments and in publicizing the rights of the free human beings. And I hope that the shelter does continue and grows even better over time.
Thank you, Lewis. Appreciate that. A longtime resident is about to leave. What's the story? And sign in, please.
We got tired of trying to survive.
Now,
here.
Who are we talking to?
Me and my daughter.
Yeah, but for our audience. Or is this a secret?
It cost too much to live in California, so we had to bail.
And so you've had a daughter that was born 1987 or so?
86.
You could be able to go to the forest and just meet.
And we thought that there's got to be a less pressured economic place to live.
And have you been working here for recently?
Yeah, I even work here, and my company lays me off here periodically, which where I'm going to another part of America. When I mentioned to them that there was layoffs, they said, wow, that's unusual.
A takeover by
big corporation, but they do it over only here in Monterey Bay. They lay off, so I'm moving to somewhere where I won't be laid off, and they don't lay off.
And Kim, the child's mother's in jail at the moment. Or?
No, she's doing fine. She's
I heard she was in jail.
No, she's not. She's got a place to live in Capitola. She's doing well. And she has two children, and I have one of her children. And she has another child.
Now, which child is heading with you?
The oldest one, the one that was born in 1986.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we expect that we get a letter from you. We want to know what's going on in Colorado.
Take a copy of the street shit sheet,
which has our address on it.
Oh, that'd be great.
It defrauded us.
So, what has been the process of the meetings? Like, I heard on Moore Street that they were going to try and open that up as a shelter. Like, try to that.
There is an open-air shelter subcommittee of the city council, which has been running around looking at potentially alternate sites for the open-air shelter for the campground. But at the last meeting, which was a week ago or so, they were unable to say they'd gotten any progress. And most of the subcommittee is very gloomy about the prospects. I think it's much more likely we could find a place to move those community house trailers and keep the open-air shelter where it is and find a place to move the open-air shelter.
Except for that, they used to have a closed shelter in Moore Street where they were able to bed like 40, 50 people at least. They thought about considering that, where they do the food Monday through Friday.
And there was a shelter. I guess they were thinking about opening it up again.
Yeah, reopening
winter,
it.
Yeah.
Due to the...
This is different.
True. Right. I mean, it's different.
Different than the open-air campground.
True. In the sense of at least to have something, you know, it's a closed something in town,
right.
I suppose. So, well, I just stayed at the Jesus Joseph Mary home. And if there's single families that have women with children or men with children, they can stay there.
How many places do they have?
They have about 5 to 10 rooms for, it's more of a family housing. It's a Jesus Joseph Mary home.
Right.
And that's owned by Peter Corona. And they would prefer single or families more than single people. But if single people, the person to talk to is Pat, and it's on Lennox Street.
Is it a monthly basis?
Yeah, you could stay there on a monthly basis. Monthly basis. But it is a Catholic home, so you would be in a really serious Catholic circumstance. But it is, I would consult, like housing. It's housing for, you know, like me and my daughter just spent about a month there. You know, it's free housing.
Well, thank you for the tip.
Sure.
While you were there, did you find there any religious restrictions on you?
Yes, you do have to do a Catholic sermon, and it is that is one of the restrictions of staying at the house, to be a part of having Catholic Mass at least once a day. And they do like you to work for living there, like 2 hours worth of work. But it was a place to live that did not cost me money, but you kind of did work, a couple hours of work to live there, plus a half an hour of Catholic service every day, except for Sundays.
Thank you again.
So I see a familiar face here on the sidewalk with some nice looking jewelry here on this bench. Sign in, please. What's your name?
Diana.
Diana, I remember now. Well, I didn't before, though. The last time we talked, there was a dispute you had with the Georgiana's Cafe that I believe was kind of worked out.
I ignored it.
Well, as I recall at that time, that there was some concern they didn't like you displaying your jewelry, and then there was some dispute you had, and we eventually went in with a mediator, and the mediator said that they were going to try to work it out with you. In fact, the last thing I heard, I told you that you could go in there provided you didn't display the jewelry or anything.
Yeah.
So that was the latest thing. But you're back. Have you been away since that time? Or
I went back and forth. Went up north, Mount Shasta, and just came back here and went to Big Sur and just got back.
Now, you display your jewelry wherever you go, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Have you encountered similar problems elsewhere? What's been happening? What's the street scene like for people who are trying to display jewelry and crafts people on the streets?
Well, crafts people, like, they hassle at certain places and some places they don't. But they have, it's okay, like, for the street musicians and people that have signs, but not for small people that make jewelry, you know, for food money or whatever. Yeah.
So have you had, what other cities have you been spending time in where you've either found it looser or tighter than Santa Cruz?
Monterey.
And how is Monterey for a jeweler?
I was doing fine until we got a new street bicycle cop. Mm-hmm. And before that, I wasn't any problem at all.
Right.
You know, making money down at Fisherman's Wharf.
Right.
Yeah.
And how long were you able to successfully proceed until you were driven off, or until were you driven off? What actually happened?
Yeah. He said I couldn't do it because it would cause problems with more people coming in, you know, on the wharf. And I was just like by myself, you know, no one else is around, you know. But there's a few other people doing sewing stuff, but he came to ask me instead, mm-hmm. you know. But then he wanted to see ID. I didn't have any ID because I got stolen. Then he walked all the way up to my van to get ID, and then he started going through my diary. And that's like, you know, posing on my privacy, you know.
Did you tell him
that
you didn't have no permission to go through your diary?
Yeah, and he did anyway. Yeah.
I see.
So I came back up here with my husband.
Did you file a complaint against this
man? No,
Well.
But in Portland, it's a different thing. They don't care up there, you know, on the...
Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, Portland, Oregon, yeah. You could sell or do whatever.
How long were you in Portland?
We're going up there now.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I've been going back and forth for years.
And how long were you successful in Monterey without being bothered?
For a couple of years. Right. It's a new thing with the bicycle cops.
So, yeah. So when you left Santa Cruz, I guess it was this spring or this summer?
Where?
You left Santa Cruz this
yeah.
summer.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been gone about a couple of weeks and then I just got back.
Well, welcome back.
Yeah, I love this town, you know. I think they should allow street vendors, because it's not hurting the stores at all, because we didn't make enough money to hurt them, you know.
Yeah, I think actually it draws more people
to
town.
Yeah, that's what the tourists come here for, you know, the musicians, the artists, you know.
I agree.
Yeah, I totally, you know.
Excellent.
Totally.
Well, it's about 1:30. We're on the street here across from Woolworths with a tarot card reader,
Alex.
Alex. And Alex, how's business today?
Business, more like helping people, just spreading information.
Well, let's put it this way, how goes the information spreading activity?
Sometimes very good. Today, a little slow.
Any unusual experiences, either with citizens or officials of the law?
The law stays away. No problems with the law. The people, very positive people, if you look for them.
And what's your, is this something you've been doing for a while here on the streets of Santa Cruz, or is this a new activity for you?
About 8 years I've been doing the cards, but for Santa Cruz about a week.
Really? Where have you been doing this mostly?
Canada.
So you're Canadian?
Right.
And do you see a difference in the spirit here than there? Any different quality, any different sense?
A little more laid back here. Definitely.
Any questions you want to ask me?
Keep the radio going.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right, brother.
I'm on the street with
Gypsy.
The Notorious Gypsy, a jewelry person from whose
stone carver,
leather worker,
all-around great craftsman.
A man who sits on the sidewalk making his wares up by Cathcart Pacific. And what's been happening up there lately?
Well, lately they've really been working with us, believe it or not. Well, me personally. Right. I don't know what it is, you know, I can kind of like walk through Harlem with a $100 bill taped to my head and everything seems to be okay.
I see, yeah.
So,
Hi, Mike.
But by the grace of God, I haven't really been setting up my stuff, you know. I had just a burst of such love and I gave all my stuff away, you know. So it's like I'm restarting up. And it's amazing how things work because people are giving me things like that are worth twice as much as the things that I gave away. It's a beautiful way. It's beautiful.
That's wonderful.
It's beautiful.
And in fact, not a week and a half ago, you were quite angry with police officers for having apparently done major harassment activities around that corner.
I'm really glad that I overcame that and transcended above that, and it wasn't my doing. It was the doing of our great beloved Father in heaven.
So the police changed their policy, or they're just not doing it so obviously?
You know what it is? I think that the unity of amongst the people, of the people that I work with anyways, in the spiritual realm prevents them from doing it. They don't even know what's going on. You know, they have no idea why they can't harass us.
So you haven't been harassed in the last few days there?
No, I haven't been harassed in about 4 days.
And you've been there pretty regularly?
24/7.
How many? Really?
Well, here and there, you know, we like to go out to the beach and pray and meditate and have campfires out there, but throughout the whole day. We meet really interesting people. People from all around the world come down here, and it's great, you know, to exchange all of our different goods that we make. And thank God the police have just pretty much been focused on the drug dealers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is there a big drug dealing influx happening here?
Well, you know, it is. It's just the usual. Just the usual, you know. I don't know.
I'm glad to hear all this good news.
It's really good to see you. Yeah, you know, it's good to see you out here because you are a major part of helping maintaining the peace and keeping the police focused on what they really should be focused on instead of them just having this time and now they're going to walk over here and see what they can do to harass me or another carver who's just sitting there to himself.
Well, I think you have had just as much impact, and certain chess masters have also been instrumental in this matter. As I spoke, as Paul, the infamous pawn pusher, passed by.
As for today, I'm a knight. You know, I'll be traveling two steps ahead and one to the left. You know, two steps ahead.
I
one
see.
To
hopping
the left.
Around.
Hopping
so to
around,
speak.
So to speak.
Well, thank you, Gypsy.
Thank you very much. And Friday morning, I'd like to come down in
9:45 Taco Bell.
Definitely.
Hang on, we're talking to
Cosmo. How you doing?
Hey, Cosmo, and we're at Cathcart and Pacific, aka Hippie Corner, the Cage. What's happening here?
Oh, well, this morning, man, you saw it, man. The police officers, they were running down the street and everything. They actually ran down the street, you know.
After this guy, I guess they supposedly stole something from a store down there.
Right.
It was kind of funny, man, because the cops couldn't run.
I
fast
know.
Enough to keep up with them.
I know.
They had the motorcycles fucking chasing them down, dude.
Yeah. The backup.
They did get him, though.
They did
get him and put him in the car.
Yeah. Did they see the arrest? How was it?
Yeah, it was okay, man.
They didn't beat him up or nothing this time.
Yeah.
Maybe at least not in public.
Right.
Well,
we were sitting right here.
Who knows
right
what
here.
Happened after they drove off with him in the back of a car in handcuffs.
Here. Yeah, it happened right here.
Right. Well, actually, beat Canada. I've never
happened
been
back, what, 75
I've been arrested.
Away.
Yeah. I've been arrested many times by the police here. They've never physically abused me in a severe way. Though I've heard about it before.
They've attempted to on me once or twice. But
hey, they almost stole my blanket. But I was telling anybody, I actually made a complaint and I found my blanket.
Really?
Oh, they found my blanket.
Okay.
Did you see the letter of apology you got from the sergeant of internal affairs?
Absolutely.
Now that's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, man,
now we're talking.
And the chief of police had his name on it too.
You have a copy of that letter?
I threw it away.
I see. My man, a few possessions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
But I got my blanket back.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Blankets are more important than letters.
And they apologize.
The joke about it was in this letter, they said, we apologize for any inconvenience we may have caused you. How much more inconvenient is it to be cold without your blankets?
You know, any hypothermia you may have suffered.
Pay me money for the pain and suffering.
That's it.
I'm attached to my blanket. I've had it since childhood, motherfucker.
Hey, Linus?
Well, I got my stink.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
You betcha. Good to see you,
brother. Hey, bro.
We'll get you an update on that description of that guy.
Okay. Well, keep his eyes. I'm talking to...
My name's Kelly Smith.
And Kelly, you're a Hebrew National hot dog kind of guy.
Yeah, hot dog vendor in front of Woolworths.
Indeed, that's where we are. In front of Woolworths, it's about 2 o'clock. A very nice Thursday afternoon for November.
Sure is. The gem of the day.
And you actually were pointed out to me by someone up at Cathcart and Pacific as a man who was a witness to a rape. And actually what happened was you were more of a witness to a rape victim's account of something that happened.
A friend of hers came up to me and said, yeah, there's a rapist running around, watch out. This is common down here. Yeah. If you're down here on the streets a lot, somebody's really, really off the wall, whether it's a strong-arm robber or a rapist, anybody that's really getting physically violent on people, everybody singles the person out and lets everybody know, watch out for that person. So this is not unusual.
Right.
This particular case, I'm working the hot dogs, and the first time anything like this happened since I've worked here. I got a customer.
Sure.
Hi.
I'm speaking with that man about pretzels, who is describing, doing a little musical lip here on the street.
Okay, take it.
Giving us all a bunch of lip.
Yeah.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, Jason.
How you doing?
All right, catching a report on public safety here from one of our unofficial public safetarians.
That's me. Hot dog man.
So Bubbles came up and gave you a report. Should I mention your name or is that inappropriate?
I guess you can call him Bubbles. Actually, a friend of Bubbles came up to me and told me, look out, there's a rapist going around. I said, oh yeah? Well, what's he look like? She says, well, I don't know what she looks like. He looks like, but he went after Bubbles in the Poconip, attacked her. She got away, found someone else camping up there. There was a guy. She said, please help me. The guy said, stay here. Nothing's going to harm you. And as the story goes, the guy came up to this next guy's camping spot.
The rapist.
Right, the attacker. And basically cowered over them, stood over them for a period of time, and then attacked the guy in pursuit of her.
What was the nature of the attack?
What? I don't know. The word was attacked. I assume that meant the guy hit the other guy. Anyway, he fought this guy to get the woman, and from what I heard, Bubbles took off during the fight.
And this the same night that she was originally raped?
Yeah, this is all within a period of time, I guess. I mean, in other words, attack happens, she gets away, runs through the woods, finds another human being camping on his own as a man. Help me, please help me, someone's trying to attack me. Oh, stay here, it'll safe, he won't bother you here. The guy walks through the woods, finds them again, finds her again, attacks the guy to get at the woman, and Bubbles gets away. That's what I heard.
And ironically, a few moments ago, the man that you said Bubbles
attacked was standing in front of us.
Actually walked past us.
According to everyone's description, according to Bubbles, yeah. Matter of fact, he actually walked up to her. She said, look, I don't like what you did. It wasn't right what you did, blah, blah, blah. And he made some gesture like, something to that effect. Like he's, you know, it's between you and me and nothing you can do about it. And I'll get you later, some kind of spacey, trippy thing. That's what she conveyed to me directly. Like, this, all this stuff tells me the guy should
say for fairness sake.
He fucking gelled right there. The guy gelled. Okay, we sat there, we eyeball, confront. One thing I'm comfortable with is the guy looks like Adele. That means you can take him out easy, okay? He ain't 8 foot tall, you know, with a switchblade coming out of his forehead or something.
He also denied the charge.
Yeah, he denied that it all happened.
Right.
So, fine, good, you know? At least he knows that people know. Usually if, you know, a psycho like that knows everybody's on his case, he's going to calm down, so fine. Situation's diluted, and that's great. Just don't want people fucking with the women out here, that's all. You know,
if you're gonna fuck, ask first.
Yeah, you know, it's just this rape shit's bullshit, you know.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, man.
There you have it. The hot news from a hot dog stand here on beautiful Walnut and Pacific. Well, how hip.
Where can I get one of those?
Is that sounding very good?
Well, say hello there, Keith.
Hello, how's it going?
Are you doing okay? We're moving the machine around. Last time it was all crackly and everything. Now we're putting the machine down. Seeing how we're doing. I'm moving the phone around a little, okay? I'm going to play it back here.
Avenue. And for people who want to call into that show, which I think you can start calling in about 6:20, it's 425-4290. And I hope anybody is listening out at the campground, you know, that they get a lot of dimes together, or they, you know, because you're going to need it. The phone's closed at the Community Resource Center at that time, as I understand it. You know, get some quarters, book that payphone, and get on the phone to Daryl. Unfortunately, the problem with talking with Daryl Darling is that, and Daryl, no offense meant in this respect in terms of personal style, he's insufferably long-winded. I have a lot of trouble talking to Daryl because, well, maybe I'm long-winded too, but I mean, it seems to me it takes four sentences to say what you can say in one sentence. But nonetheless, you know, I mean, I hope we can talk to Daryl and have a dialogue, and you can also fax in at 425-3958, and you can email in, for those of you computer buffs, and I know you're one of those, Chris, at sctalk@cruzio.com. That's sctalk@cruzio.com. Again, the phone number to call in on Tuesday afternoon between at 6:15, 6:20 or so is 425-4920. That's to talk to Daryl Darling, the man who is the front person for removing 200 homeless people from the River Street campground, from the open-air shelter, from the back 40 on December 1st, and then removing them permanently, forever. That their plan is to make sure that property is black-topped over and becomes a little housing project that costs another $1 million.
Right.
That's it. For 48 people.
Right. And the fact that the federal problem is the legal problem is that there's no law allowing monies to house, to allow people to sleep in fields. They rehab that one-third of the bays that the city owns, buying for $300,000 industrial space, and they put three toilets in. But those toilets are locked up at 5 o'clock, and they're not opened until 9 a.m. So you have 200 people using three porta-potties that become full to the brim every almost, I don't know how often, but they're just a mess. At least they could get some new ones there. They've got new indoor plumbing that they lock. So they've got, in the middle of the bay, is completely empty for three years. The other end of the bay is being developed as a dining
hall.
The
bays you're talking about is the structure that sits right next to the...
This is an $800,000 building.
Just a micro. It's the structure that sits right next to the open-air shelter, which was purchased, I don't know, by the city or county for use as part of a homeless resource center. At least part of it was.
Was it purchased with homeless monies?
Well, I'm not sure what monies it was purchased
Nobody
with.
Nobody knows.
I'm just, Chris, trying to make people aware of exactly what it is you're talking about. You get enthusiastic, and perhaps some people aren't aware of what you're saying. But go ahead.
Okay, and in the middle section, which even Paul Marceau said would be perfect for a shelter, but it's been 3 years. All they need to do a shelter is unlock the door, bring double bunk beds in, and let people sleep there. You know, they don't have to spend $300,000 on ventilation. Karen has painted the floor. Karen Gillette has painted the floor, and she got a drywaller, and that's ready within a couple weeks for it to become a dining hall, whereas it was before 3 years vacant and the city paying a $5,000, over $5,000 a month mortgage on that. And a lot of these homeless campers don't even realize, hey, maybe that's our building. We don't know. I don't know what monies that building's been bought.
Right, if anybody out there has any information on this stuff, maybe when you hang up, which I'm going to conclude this call so that others can call in, and Chris, you should feel free to call back if you have more to add or responses to make. I'm not about to hang up on you right now, but anybody has any info on that, you know, or any other aspects of this situation that could enlighten the public, give a call here to 427-3772. We're on Free Radio Santa Cruz, and you can be on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And the discussion here is with activist Crossroads Chris Brazda, who is a member of SOS, the Save Our Shelters, and of HUF, your Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom member, as well as being an independent activist, extremely independent, who's always taken your own road on these issues.
I'm trying to understand this issue, and I feel I understand it as far as the material they've given me, and I've processed into 8 articles that are appearing on S-Cruz.Star news groups, S-Cruz.Politics, S-Cruz.General, S-Cruz.Events, and alt.org.f food-not-bombs. So if anybody care to learn about these
email me direct at drb@ix.nedcom.com, and I'll send you all the articles I've done on this.
And also, if you we had trouble keeping up with that, and that was pretty fast, Chris, give Chris a call at
426-7807.
426-7807, so you can, actually get a hard copy of this stuff, or indeed contribute to Chris's attempt to get this information out to the public. He has been trying to set up a table. I believe today you were going to work on some kind of tabling work.
After the show, we'd probably be out at the theater, at the top of the hall, the new theater they built.
So, I mean, you
comes from that $1.5 million gratuity the Cooper House lot received.
Oh, yeah, that's another subject which I'd like you to talk about at some point. But Cooper and Pacific is where you'll find Chris later today on the street. He's, as well as Ankle Deep Ann, she'll be out there. And these people need your support, listeners. They need, donations, at least to pay for the damn printing cost of the literature that they're putting out.
And your attention in discovering the expense of this project is over $1 million, and we're begging you, not for quarters, but to save that $1 million for some...
Right, you're trying to save the public money, you're not trying to loot the public trough, and that's what I think has been a misunderstanding for many people who are of a conservative disposition. They don't understand that the cost of hundreds of people being thrown out onto the streets and camping all over is going to be immense compared with the very, very reasonable, $46,000 for the whole 8 months that the Citizens Committee for the Homeless went into debt running the campground. So it's a ridiculous comparison.
That's what I say, but I'm seeing also a July 27th debt repayment of $30,400.
Don't tell us that.
They're
right
in debt already, and they're going into more.
Citizens Committee has perennially been doing that kind of stuff.
And they tend to retire old debt with new money, and I think that's what they're doing here. And so there's a lot more to learn about this.
Well, hopefully you'll be educating us. And
I'm definitely not the kind of a contact person with authority to have a problem asking questions to authority. And
sounds like an incoming call for you. So maybe you've got somebody already calling in to help you out.
I'll take that.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, bye.
So, our lines are open, and we're going to try to make our calls a little shorter. I apologize for keeping that line tied up for so long. You're listening to Bathrobes Pier, Robert Morris. This is Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides. Your co-host, largely silent this morning, is Ankle Deep Ann, who looks like she didn't get too much sleep last night. I don't know what you were doing last night, Ann, but she's got a little bit of laryngitis, and I hope she doesn't give it to me. I woke up with a kind of frog crawling around back of my throat there, croaking and moaning and groaning. So, the issue on the burner here for Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides is, how can we stop the closing of the open-air shelter? And I actually made a couple of phone calls this morning to activists in other cities who might have some ideas about this issue. I talked to Bob King, who's an activist up in Marin County, who actually helped a group of people when they effectively got another open-air shelter open for a season called Whispering Pines, which was in Marin County, San Rafael. I think that was 1992 or thereabouts. And that sheltered about 100 to 150 people and was run by the campers themselves and successfully run. We're going to play that interview with Bob a bit later in the show, perhaps a bit sooner in the show. That might happen. So we can all take a breather and I can go outside and scratch my butt. I should say walk around. I don't want to seem too candid on the air here. Ankle Deep is getting embarrassed and turning bright green. Anyway, the open-air shelter, the place where homeless people can rest, can operate from in the daytime, can have a certain sanctuary and a certain community, is due to be paved over, in essence, and dislocated starting on December 1st or before. And that's another interview that we're going to talk about. What is the date? We're not sure, because even though Community House Director Daryl Darling has told us he will be back to us with the date, that is, first he assured us, oh no, there'll be nothing happening before December 1st. And then when we prodded him on that, this was on Saturday, he said, well, I'll get back to you on that. Well, it's Monday, Daryl, and you have not, I repeat, you have not gotten back to us. So we can give Daryl Darling a call at the Darling House. In fact, I think I'll allow Ankle Deep Ann to talk to Daryl Darling on the phone. You'll be able to hear if Daryl, in fact, and we're going to call him at his phone at 458-1958, which is Daryl Darling's Darling House phone. Darling House is a bed and breakfast upscale establishment on the west side, which looks out over the beautiful Pacific Ocean, and it's a very nice place to go. Kind of cost, kind of pricey. Well, pricey for me. Maybe not pricey for people who do this regularly. I find spending, I don't know how much it is per night, what, $50 to $150. I don't know how much that to pay for one night. You know, I mean, you can pay for 50 150 people on the open air shelter with that kind of money for one night. Anyway, that's a good idea. I think, Anne, here I'm going to give you, we're going to try to reach Daryl Darling and find out just exactly what is cooking on this front.
Good morning, the Darling House.
Yes, may I speak with Daryl Darling, please?
Who's calling?
My name is Anne Curry.
What is it regarding?
It's regarding an answer he was supposed to get back to us as soon as possible on a definite date that we could stay at the open air shelter.
Could stay where?
At the open air, it's regarding the community house project.
Okay, hold on.
Hello?
Hi, Daryl. You're on the air on Free Radio Santa Cruz. And we were calling to find out if you have gotten word yet as to a deadline date for when we, how long we can stay at the open air shelter.
This is Dan?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I will be meeting with the group at 4 o'clock, as I had told Robert. I will have that information.
So you will have a date for us at 4 o'clock?
I will have responses to the questions that I had promised I would have answers to, and that's included.
Okay, so it is... I'm sorry. We just thought you hadn't called us anybody back yet this morning, so we thought we'd get a jump start on it and find out what we're looking forward to. So you will be there for
a call? Late on Friday. I agreed to meet on the next weekday with you, with the group, and I had told the group my commitment is to group process, and I had said I would have that information.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying to get, is you will have a definite answer for us.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
You bet, Ann. Bye.
Well, that was Dodging Daryl on the phone, live, and as you can see, actually Daryl did not say, and I probably should have gotten on the phone and talked to him about this, I didn't want to squabble on the air. So we're trying to mediate this to some extent, but we also have the dual role of educating people as to what's going on here. Daryl did say at the Saturday meeting, not the Friday meeting, by the way, it was on Saturday, that he would, first he said for sure, they would not come in and remove campers until December 1st. And I kind of loudly, because he was leaving as he said this, I loudly kind of hushed everybody up and said, Daryl, can you say that again for all of us so we know that's a clear commitment? And he backpedaled to be sure. He said, well, I want to check with the Citizens Committee on that date. And then I asked him for a clear time when he would tell us, and he never quite gave us a clear time, but he said he would call me back as soon as he could. So it wasn't really a commitment to the group to do this, although I think that was also done. It was a commitment to me and to those of us listening that to call back straight away with the information as soon as possible. Now, if he has the information now, I don't know why he isn't telling us on the air. If he doesn't have the information now, maybe he's having an emergency meeting with the Citizens Committee for the homeless people, or for the homeless, the folks around the board of directors. In any case, I won't be able to give you a radio report on this until Friday, because that's when my show is. Although perhaps I will call in. I'll try to call in anybody listening, particularly the campers out at the open air shelter, those of you who are listening to the show. I will try to call a news report in to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and of course the information will be available through Ankle Deep Ann. And anybody who wants to come to this meeting at 4 o'clock at the Duck Pond today, that's the San Lorenzo Duck Pond, can come and duck and cover, or watch somebody else duck and cover. Ann, what's your reaction to this?
Basically, you mentioned he possibly might be calling an emergency meeting of the CCH, which is kind of ironic because he said he didn't have the authority to do that Saturday, if I remember correctly, so.
I don't know if he actually has the authority to do that, but I suspect, I don't know how he's going to get the information other than by contacting CCH members and getting some kind of consensus. So I think he, I don't know if he said he didn't have the authority to call a meeting. He said he didn't have the authority to speak and make decisions, which is always very convenient because it means you can take up all kinds of endless time talking people to death, but you don't have anything to say. You know, I mean, that's the problem on that. Although, of course, Darrow, and that's not quite fair, Darrow did have some things to say to us in terms of, he gave us some background on Citizens Committee for the Homeless funding a bit, but not really that much. Did you learn anything from Darrow at that meeting?
I don't remember what I learned there.
The only thing I basically learned is that he's spending a lot of his own time looking for an alternate site. He's really, really trying to help.
Now, by an alternate site, we don't mean an alternate site for trailers for Community House. No, we mean an alternate site which could magically provide a campground with no neighborhood objections for 200 people by March 15th. Okay? That is what the City Council subcommittee, the Open Air Subcommittee, is supposedly doing. Although they're not going to meet again until, I think it's December 4th, that's my understanding. And so they're not really, is it fair to say they're not really working too hard on this issue? Well, some people are, in the sense that the mayor's taking a lot of, Darrell's taking a lot of his time out, the mayor's taking a lot of her time out. But the question is, taking time out, doing what? Covering their bases. I mean, Darrell wants the Community House to proceed. You know, he intends Community House to proceed. He doesn't want people marching around Stanford with placards saying, "You're displacing our homeless." He doesn't want people camped downtown in front of the merchants saying, "Darrell Darling sent us here," or the Citizens Committee for the Homeless sent us here. He doesn't want that happening, and neither do we, frankly. I mean, that's a waste of everybody's time. But is there a possibility that the Citizens Committee will rethink this whole situation, put its trailers into mothballs, until there is a real alternate site for 200 people to go? Will they keep open this site during the winter for those 50 to 100 people who need to use it, who are weatherizing their tents, who cannot go into the Armory winter shelter? Will they commit themselves to this? If they will, we are a working partnership. If they won't, then they have to come up with some other solution, or we're going to have to respect the rights of those people when CCH sends in the bulldozers or the police on or before December 1st. So that is the issue as I see it, and that's the issue that I'm encouraging the community to organize around. We need people in the community to support those of us who are out there at the campground talking to SOS, Save Our Shelter. And if you want to support through HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, give a call to 423-HUF, 423-4833. That's my phone number until I become homeless in about a week when I'm losing my lodging, and who knows, I'll probably show up at the campground trying to figure out how to put up a tent. Boy, that's going to be interesting. or something. And you can also contact Ankle Deep Ann here, Ann Curry, and Save Our Shelter at 469-2480. That's her pager number. Again, 469-2480, 469-2480 for Save Our Shelter. And that's Ann Curry. If you ever, you can come out to the campground, talk to campers about it. That's another good thing to do. They can use expertise and help. They can use contacts with people in the community. And you can also get a real close view of who these folks are that are going to be told disappear on December 1st during the day. Go into the Armory or disappear is what they're being told. Remove yourselves from this property so that maybe if we get the funding together, we can blacktop over the area and set up a $1 million project for 48 people. Or as Darrell Darling has said to us, 40 to 60 people. He specified that possibly couples will go into some of these rooms at the trailers. Do give us a call if you have any thoughts on this latest homeless cleansing plan at 427-3772. Sort of the Bosnian solution to the Santa Cruz homeless problem. Hey, if it works there, why not here? I'm being rhetorical, but for people who are being forced into a situation of some desperation in the winter, it may not be so rhetorical. Deaths happen in the winter from exposure. People get drunk and suffer hypothermia. People fall off bridges and drown themselves when they're drunk, when they're not in a community where they can go to, where they can be. And there ain't no such community available in the winter, thanks to the Citizens Committee for the Homeless's latest dictate, if that's what they intend to continue doing. The Armory will not take people who are drunk. Sorry. And it's not like we want to establish a keg party all winter. That's not the plan. The reality is there are alcoholics on the streets who are going to continue drinking. You know, I'm sorry, you blue noses. I'm sorry, you rednecks. I'm sorry, folks. That's the reality of what's happening on the streets in Santa Cruz and across the country. You know, Newt Gingrich can retire to his house or to his, you know, to his suite to have martinis. It's illegal for homeless people to even have a bottle on the streets. That's the utter disparity in civil liberties we find happening in this country at the time. And Ann is writing notes. What are you writing notes about here, Ann? You talk to the people.
Well, if I don't write it down, I'll forget it like I usually do by the time I get to the microphone. You're saying it's a nationwide problem, and actually, what people don't realize, it's a worldwide problem. And these people, they want to, you know, they have the infomercials on TV for supporting the children of less fortunate countries and nations. The thing is, let's support our own people first. Once we become a strong nation, then we can turn around and we can give an example to the other nations. Then we can help them as one nation, as one people. Not giving to them first, not all nations are like that. They'll turn around and backstab us. They'll become strong and turn around and, you know, send weapons our way. But we need to help ourselves first, help our neighbors. This is our country. I mean, you know, we the people, it's supposed to be, from what I remember of high school, you know, history class and that, we the people, not this person and that person, but we, you know, the emphasis. We've got to stick together. We've got to come together on this. It's getting too much of a money-hungry nation, and we just got to, you know, people were here before money was.
Yeah, Bob reminds you. I agree with that one. That's true. In fact, we have somebody else who probably agrees with both of us, and if you disagree, hey, add some spice to the conversation. You know, I have this anonymous caller who, he's actually stopped calling me. Maybe he's called me and is too bashful when I answer the phone in person at 423-HUFF. While I was away in Arcata, supporting a lot of people to serve free food up there to poor people, which they're trying to jail him for, this guy called.